All right, we'll get right into the Word this morning. I hope you're ready for the Word. Are you? Amen. I have a Word that I believe will bless us today. I believe it's one that the Lord specifically inspired me to share. So let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for every person here this morning. I believe, Lord, that you appointed each one of us to be here today to hear this Word. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that each of us would receive it, we would appropriate it, and Lord, it would be something that would strengthen us. It would be something that would strengthen our faith today. We thank you for it, Father. I pray that you would help me to deliver it in the way that you've put it in my heart. Holy Spirit, I trust you to give me utterance today to speak as the oracles of God, to minister, Lord, with the strength that you supply in the name of Jesus. And Father, I have full confidence in your Word that it will not return void. I have confidence, Lord, that you watch over your Word to perform it. We thank you for it today in Jesus' name. And everyone that agreed said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And by the way, we want to welcome those that are joining us on YouTube. Welcome to our online family. It is much better in person, but if you can't be here in person, we're glad you're joining us online, or maybe you live somewhere else, or maybe you're watching this during the tribulation after we've all been raptured into heaven. Praise God. If you'll believe on Jesus, you can be saved. Hey, that stuff's going to stay. You know, you can't. Once it goes on the internet, it's there forever. Right? All right. So, amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1. Let's go there this morning. Hebrews 1, verse 13. It says, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they, the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So the writer of Hebrews tells us what the angels are here for. The writer of Hebrews tells us that there are angels. It acknowledges the reality that there are angels. And it says all the angels, he says, are they not all? So all of them, all the angels are what? They're ministering spirits. And what is their purpose? Well, the second thing it says, they're sent forth. They are ministering spirits who have been sent forth. And it says to minister for those who will inherit salvation. So if you're saved, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then the angels have been sent forth to minister for you. Now, you know, throughout our culture, you know, people talk about angels, and a lot of times folks have erroneous ideas of what angels are. Some people think that when human beings die, that they go to heaven and become angels. That's not true. You don't become an angel. Amen. They're a separate class of being than human beings. All right? They can take upon the form of a human being, and they do that. But they're a separate class from human beings. And so you don't, when you die, you don't become an angel. And most of us, though, that believe the Bible and read the Bible, well, we believe in angels because the Bible clearly reveals and shows their existence and their work. And because the word angel is actually in the Bible, New King James Version, 199 times. 199 times. And angels, plural, that word is in the Bible an additional 93 times. So about almost 300 times the word angel or angels, or in other words, angels are referred to nearly 300 times in the Bible. Okay? But you're probably like me, and you had an understanding that the angels, they go on special assignments for God, which they do. Yeah, we're not denying that. They go on these important assignments given to them by God, and that's true. But what the verse we just read tells us something far beyond that. The angels have been sent forth to minister for us. Amen. Amen. And most of us have never really acknowledged that and certainly have not taken full advantage of that or recognized that. Amen. Amen. Look at the New Living Translation. verse 14 there. Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. Look at that. Angels have been sent to care for those who are the heirs of salvation. God has sent angels to care for you. Hallelujah. Amen. They've been given an assignment from God to care for the people of God. And that includes us, the heirs of salvation. Amen. In Matthew 18 and verse 10, Jesus said this about them. He says, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Jesus is talking about these little, you know, runny nose, dirty face, sticky fingered kids that were running around in that day. And people thought these are not important people like the Pharisees or like the rulers or like the king or like the apostles or the followers of Jesus, you know, the disciples of Jesus. These are just little kids. And Jesus said, "Wait a minute. Don't you despise them. Don't you think lightly of them. Don't you look down on them. I'm telling you that they have angels." Amen. And their angels are always seeing the face of the Father. What are they doing looking at the face of the Father? They're waiting on a command from Him to care for those little, you know, runny nose, dirty face, sticky fingered little kids that don't seem like very significant, that they can do anything. But they've got angels assigned to them. And guess what? At one time, you were one of those runny-nosed, dirty-faced, sticky-fingered little kids. And you had an angel assigned to you. Well, what happened to him? Well, let's find out. Kenneth Hagin shares, and he shares it in a couple of his books. I'm going to read the account that's in the book, How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God. He shares an account of something that an experience that happened to him in 1963 when he was in a series of meetings and they were praying. They had dedicated a couple of nights during that week just to say, "We're just going to have prayer. We're just going to pray." And he was praying about some direction about his ministry, what he should do and decisions that he should make. And he says, I was kneeling on the platform beside a chair praying when suddenly Jesus stood right in front of me. I had my eyes shut. It was a spiritual vision. I did not fall into a trance. Standing right behind Jesus, about 2 feet to his right and 3 feet behind him, was a large angel. I had seen angels before, but never one that big. He must have been 8 feet tall or more. Jesus talked to me about some things, and everything he said came to pass. Occasionally, while he talked, I would glance at that angel. When I did, the angel would open his mouth and start to say something. When I looked back to Jesus, he would not say anything. After Jesus finished his conversation with me, I asked, "Who is that fellow? What does he represent?" Jesus said, "That's your angel." Amen. I said, "My angel? Yes." He said, "Your angel. You remember reading in the scriptures that I said concerning the little children that their angel is ever before my Father's face? You don't lose your angel just because you grow up."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "Isn't that comforting?" Dad Hagin said. "I have that big fellow following me around. Praise the Lord." I said, "What does he want?" Jesus said, "He has a message for you." And the angel proceeded to deliver a message. After Brother Hagin protested, and he said, "Well, Lord, you're here. You're speaking to me. Why don't you give me the message?" And then Jesus proceeded to show him scripture after scripture after scripture where God used angels to bring guidance, to bring messages, and all the other things that they do, which we're going to get into in this message today. Praise God. We're going to talk about angelic assistance. And I want to share with you what stirred this message in me. Something happened to me this week that stirred this message. Wednesday morning, we have prayer school here on Wednesday, which is really a full service. It's not just, we don't just show up and hope something happens. We have very dedicated people that come and pray, and I take it very seriously, and I spend time preparing for it. And so as I was Wednesday morning, as I was preparing to lead prayer school, the words of the old gospel song, "O Come, Angel Band," just began stirring inside of me and in my heart. You know the song I'm talking about? "Oh, come, angel band, come and around me stand." Now, the song is really about somebody that's getting ready to go to heaven. And that, because it goes on to say, "Oh, bear me away on your snowy wings to my immortal home." You may know the song. Raise your hand if you've heard that song and know that song. Oh, my God, we need to play it. There's only a handful of you that know it. All right. Well, anyway, look it up on YouTube. Look at the Gaither. The Gaither group produced a great version of it. So go look it up on YouTube and listen to it. But that, and so I thought, oh, what are you telling me, Lord? Are we about to, you know, are you coming to take me away? And but the part of it that kept stirring in me was, "Oh, come, angel band, come and around me stand." So they not only are here for us when we die, they're here for us every day of our life. Amen. Hallelujah. There's an angel band that wants to come and stand around you, and not just stand around you, but care for you and minister for you and help you. Amen. 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 Praise God. So what can we? Oh, and I need want to add this. Back in March, the end of March, I was prompted by the Lord to go up to Brother Randy Greer's meeting up in Gatlinburg. And he made a statement. I was only there for two services, but he made a statement in one of those services. He said, "The church is about to experience assistance from heaven." Amen. Praise God. Well, that's angelic assistance. Amen. In a greater way, in a greater measure. And part of that involves us recognizing that the angels have been sent to care for us, to minister for us. Amen? Amen. So what can we expect them biblically? Again, we want to follow the word. We want to follow the scripture. Amen. Because people have got, of course, the Bible says that Satan himself can appear as an angel of light. Right? So we want to stick with the word. Amen. Amen. We want to be scriptural and biblical. So what does the word say? What does the scripture say that we can expect angels to do for us? Number one is this. If you want to make some notes. Number one, angels give divine guidance. Angels give divine guidance. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south.'" Who spoke to Philip? An angel of the Lord. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is desert. Now, the Bible, we assume it, but the Bible doesn't say specifically that Philip even saw the angel. Did you notice that? It just said that an angel spoke to Philip. Well, how do we know it was an angel? Well, the Holy Spirit said it was. The Holy Spirit, who inspired Luke to write this account in Acts chapter 8, said it was an angel. It very well, the angel could have appeared to Philip, but we don't know that. We just know that the angel spoke to him. Amen? My point is this: you don't have to necessarily see an angel to be influenced by an angel or helped by an angel. Amen. All right. So the angel spoke to him and said, "Arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." And Philip could have protested and said, "Why? I like it here just fine. I've got things to do. I'm busy." But instead, thank God, he obeyed when that angel spoke to him. Amen. And so he did. Verse 27, "So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake this chariot.'" Now this time it says the Spirit spoke to him, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we know, number one, we are to be led by the Spirit of God, right? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit, Romans chapter 8 tells us. Amen. But God can use angels to speak to us. That's what Jesus pointed out to Dad Hagin when he said, You're talking to me, why can't you tell me? And besides that, the Bible says I'm to be led by the Spirit. And Jesus, you know, Jesus didn't get mad at him. But he said, didn't you read in my word where I directed an angel spoke to Philip, showed him this scripture and several others that we'll look at some of them. And so an angel directed Philip to meet up with the Ethiopian eunuch. And this Ethiopian eunuch, you know the story as it unfolds, the Ethiopian eunuch had been to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning, and he was a man of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, and he was returning. He was not Jewish, but he had become a Jewish proselyte. He wanted to know God. He was hungry to know God. And as he was traveling back to Ethiopia, he had a scroll that he was reading up in that chariot, and he was reading at the point Philip came and met up with him, Isaiah 53. Which tells us all about Jesus being wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And the Ethiopian man asked him, he said, Who is the prophet speaking about himself or some other man? And the Bible says, beginning at this scripture, Philip preached Jesus to him. It was a perfect setup.
Amen.
Amen. So that angel was instrumental in connecting Philip with the Ethiopian so the Ethiopian could be saved.
Amen.
Amen. The angel guided Philip to do that. Now, in Acts chapter 11, we have Peter recounting. In Acts chapter 10, we find the story of Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion, and how he was praying. And an angel appeared to him and said, send men to Joppa and get Peter to come. So Peter goes, and of course you know the story. While Peter's preaching, the Holy Spirit falls. All those in Cornelius' house are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the first time that the gospel goes to the Gentiles. This is an earth-shattering event in the kingdom of God. The gospel is not just for the Jews, not just for the Jewish people. The salvation through Jesus, not just for the Jews, but for the whole world. This is the first time that it breaks through to the non-Jewish world. And angels were instrumental in bringing that about. And Peter is recounting that in Acts 11 and verse 13. And he's talking about Cornelius. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your house will be saved. So it was an angel that connected Peter with Cornelius. So Cornelius, and thus the Gentile world, and thus you and I, could hear the gospel and be saved. Amen? Praise God. Now, one thing that angels can't do is revealed right here. They can't preach the gospel. Now, we know in the book of Revelation, it talks about that's a different dispensation then. And so there'll be an angel flying, the Bible says, in mid-heaven, proclaiming the everlasting gospel, fear God and keep His commandments. All right, that's a different dispensation. But now, angels can't preach the gospel. God has entrusted and given that great privilege to you and me, to every one of us.
Yes.
Amen? To believers. And so the angel could do is connect the two together and put the two together. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Over the last several months, I mentioned prayer school earlier, and over the last several months, those of you that come to prayer school, you can be a witness for me on this, but the Lord put it on our hearts to begin to pray for the people that have come to Forsyth County, especially from Central Asia, from India, Pakistan, Turkey, and also people that have come here from the Far East, from Asia. Because there's many thousands that have moved right here to Forsyth County. Maybe they came here for political freedom. Maybe they came for economic opportunity. But we believe God brought them here so they could hear the gospel and be saved and come into His kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So we've been praying about that every week. Week after week, we pray for there to be a harvest. And we pray for God to raise up laborers. And so we've been praying that way. And so this week when we came into the office, there was Cheryl told me there was a message, and she had copied down the details. There was a message on our voicemail here at the church of an Indian pastor who had called and said, I live over in Gwinnett County. He said, but I have an interest, and I have it on my heart to reach the Indian population in Forsyth County. Hallelujah. I don't know for sure. I called him back, and we're going to meet and have lunch sometime in the near future. And I want to ask him, how did you find our church? What made you pick City on a Hill Church? Perhaps an angel spoke to him. Perhaps an angel spoke to him and said, call that number. Perhaps an angel, as he was looking through on the internet or whatever, made City on a Hill Church stand out to him. I don't know. I've had numerous people in the past that said that. And I said, well, how did you end up coming to our church? How did you find our church? Well, Pastor, I was just driving down the road, and it's like my car just wanted to turn in there. Yep. I believe that was an angel grabbing a hold of the steering wheel, pulling them in. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So angels put people together so that the gospel can be preached and people can be saved. We know they do that. Amen? Praise God. Then, so they give divine guidance, and we could look at a lot of other examples about that. Number two, angels comfort and strengthen us. And we talking about divine guidance too. Before we get into that, that's what, you know, in the account that I shared from Kenneth Hagin, Jesus said the angel has a message for you, and an angel delivered a message and gave him clear instructions regarding the future of his media ministry, his books and his tapes and all of that, and things, ways to get the gospel out. And so that was divine guidance that was given through the angels. So they give divine guidance. Then number two, angels comfort and strengthen us. Angels comfort us and they strengthen us. So Paul, we know, you know this, the account in the book of Acts where Paul is he's under arrest and he's in Caesarea, and he appeals to Caesar, and the governor, the Roman governor serving there, says, okay, I'm going to send you to Caesar. And they put him on a ship. They assigned a soldier to him. There were other prisoners on the ship as well. There were sailors on the ship. And so the ship gets caught in this horrible storm that we would know and classify really as a hurricane. And they were caught in this vicious storm for about 14 days. And we'll pick up the account in Acts 27 and verse 20. It says, now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days. So back in that day, they couldn't really navigate if they couldn't see the stars or the sun. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest, that means a big tempest, right? And no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. They'd been in this storm, hadn't seen the sun, had been windswept, the pouring, drenching rain, and the wave. Can you imagine 14 days caught in the middle of a hurricane? I mean, it's bad. Anybody ever been in a hurricane? Some of you lived in South Florida. You've been in a hurricane. I mean, it's bad for a few hours, right? I mean, just to endure that as the thing makes landfall for, you know, 6, 8, 10 hours. I mean, that's horrible to live through that. But can you imagine 14 days in that on a boat? And they said all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Well, did they? What happened? Well, in verse 22... Paul stands up and it says in verse 22, and now I urge you, Paul speaking, he says, I urge you to take heart, for there'll be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. And Paul says, therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. What happened? An angel came and appeared to him and delivered a message to him. He said, you're not going to die. This is not the end. You're going to live. Amen. Angels come to comfort us. and to give us strength. Amen? And I'm convinced that angel was not only there to comfort Paul, but also to protect him. And there was an angel band around him and around all those sailing with them that guided them safely to that little island that they ended up landing at. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. We know that after, let me say this about that as well. You know, sometimes we go through storms, don't we? Paul was in the midst of a storm, and what happened? An angel comforted him and strengthened him. So guess what you can expect? In the midst of your storm. Come on. I'm preaching better than your amen in today. You know, keep up with me here. In the midst of your storm, angels will be there. Expect it. Believe it. Angels will be there to comfort you, to strengthen. You may never see them, but that doesn't mean they're not there. That doesn't mean that peace that comes over you, that comfort, that strength that comes into you in the midst of your storm, that's an angel of God ministering to you. Amen. Hallelujah. After Jesus had fasted in the wilderness, he endured the temptations that Satan brought against him. He resisted those temptations. How? By speaking the word of God. Remember that? The devil came to him. Jesus spent 40 days, 40 nights fasting. And then Satan came to him to tempt him. Jesus resisted every temptation with the word of God. Verse 11 of Matthew 4 says, "Then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus." Angels are sent forth to minister for not just Jesus, but for all the heirs of salvation. That includes you and that includes me. And so when you go through a time of testing, when you go through a time of temptation, if you'll stand on the word of God, the angels will come and take care of you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. Again, let's look at Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before going to the cross. Luke 22, verse 42. Jesus is praying, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Verse 43 says, "Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him." Hallelujah. Amen. See, when we commit to doing God's will, even though, you know, Jesus, of course, for him, doing the will of God meant dying for us. Amen. Thank God we don't have to do that. He sacrificed so we could be saved. But there is a price to pay for doing God's will. It might not always be convenient. It might not always be pleasant. Amen. But when we commit to do God's will, we can expect the angels of God to strengthen us. Amen. If they did it for Jesus. See, the Bible says, again, the angels are sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation. That's the term that Hebrews uses. The Bible says also in the book of Romans that we are joint heirs with Jesus. So if the angels ministered to him when he committed to do God's will and strengthened him, then we can expect the angels to strengthen us. Amen. Hallelujah. Now again, just because you don't see the angel or angels, it doesn't mean that they aren't there. I want to point out, this is an account you probably know about, 2 Kings chapter 6. And 2 Kings 6, this is the account of Elisha the prophet and his servant Gehazi. And they had been, by the word of knowledge, Elisha had been tipping off the king of Israel that the king of Syria was about to attack and where he was going to be attacking. And Elisha would send word to the king of Israel and say, "The king of Syria is going to be coming through this pass in the mountains here." And they would be ready for him. The army of Israel would be ready each time and would repel that attack until finally the king of Syria said, "Hey, there must be a mole in my administration here." And they said, "No, it's not, king. There's that prophet there in Israel, and he tells you what you say in your bedroom." He said, "Uh-oh." So he sent a detachment of troops to arrest Elisha. He said, "Okay, to eliminate the problem, we got to arrest this prophet." So he found out that they were in this city in Israel, and a detachment of Syrian soldiers went down to arrest Elisha, and Elisha's servant Gehazi went out one morning to go to Chick-fil-A to get breakfast for them. And when, verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do? We got this whole army surrounding the city to arrest us." In verse 16, so he answered, Elisha answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Amen. And his servant peeked out the window and he counted until he could stop counting. He couldn't count anymore. There were so many. And then he said, "One, two." "Are you sure about that, boss?" So Elisha said, "Yeah, I'm sure." Verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And Elisha said, why don't you look outside the window again?" And when his servant looked out the window again, he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. "Oh, come, angel band, come, and around me stand." Hallelujah. Praise God. And of course, you know the end of the story. They were delivered. Amen. Some of you, I've referred to Rick Renner before, who's a Bible teacher and an apostle. Really, God sent him over into Eastern Europe right at the fall of communism, right when the Iron Curtain came down. And they went over to Eastern Europe, went to Russia, went to the former Soviet republics of Latvia and Lithuania, some of those, and established dozens of churches and still live there in Russia today, have a powerful ministry in Russia. And several years ago, the Renners, Rick and his wife Denise, they were flying from Murmansk, Russia, which I don't know if I think it was Eastern Russia. I don't know if it's how close it is to Khabarovsk. Is that where Michelle was at? Khabarovsk. But anyway, Mike and Linda's daughter was in Far Eastern Russia serving as a missionary for several years. But they were flying back from this city called Murmansk, Russia, and they were living in Riga, Latvia at the time, and they had to fly through Moscow, change planes in Moscow to get on to Latvia. So the night before they're leaving, they turn on the TV, and this is 1993, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but, you know, of course, Gorbachev was in power when the Soviet Union disbanded, and then after him was Boris Yeltsin. Anybody remember Boris Yeltsin? Well, you know, Yeltsin was president of Russia, and he hadn't been president too long until the old-line communists decided, "Hey, wait a minute. We don't like this anymore. We want to take things back." And so they engineered a coup against Yeltsin to remove Yeltsin from power. Anybody remember that happening? 1993? Some of you do. All right. Some of you weren't paying attention back then, and that's all right. Hallelujah. But anyway, they turn on the TV the night before they're supposed to go fly home the next morning. And this coup is, the news reports are full of the coup that's taking place. You know, the communist sympathizers have taken the Russian White House. I don't know what they call it there, but Renner referred to it the Russian White House. The residence and the offices of President Yeltsin, these communist sympathizers had taken over, and they were executing their coup. And so the Renners thought, "Oh boy, you know, now here we are. We got to fly into Moscow. We're going to be able to get in." They went to the airport the next morning, not knowing if they'd be able to even get the flight home. And so they're sitting there in the airport, and their plane is still scheduled to take off. And there's a group of passengers there, you know, at the gate waiting to see if they're going to go. And the only two people that the gate attendant called to get on the plane were Rick Renner and his wife, Denise. They were the only two people allowed to fly. And they didn't understand it. They thought, well, maybe because we're on TV and they recognize us, or maybe because we hold, you know, American passports, so you know they want to make sure they take care of the Americans, or what it is. But anyway, praise God, we're going to get to go. So they seated them in first class, and they just kind of chuckled to each other. We're the only ones on this plane. And so they fly all the way from Murmansk back to Moscow, only two of them on the plane. And then the plane lands, and they get up to get off the plane, and the flight attendant goes toward the back of the plane and pulls back a curtain, and there are 85 Russian Black Beret troops on the plane. And these are the elite of the elite. These are like our Navy SEALs. And these are the elite of the elite. And they come, I mean, they're loaded for bear. They've got their weapons strapped on them. They've got rounds of munitions draped across them. They've got knives in their boots, and they're ready to go. And so the renters are like, yes, sir, you know. And so they see these 85 elite troops get off the plane and board these jumbo helicopters after the renters have gotten off their plane and gotten in the car that was picking them up. And they see them boarding these jumbo helicopters. And later they see on the news these 85 elite troops, Black Beret troops, being lowered by ropes onto the Russian White House to retake the White House and take down the coup. Wow. So they thought they were flying alone. But there was 85 elite troops on that plane with them. You're not flying alone. You may think you are. You may not see them. But there's an angel band that God has assigned to take care of you. They're sent forth to care for those who will inherit salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Then number three. Angels provide protection and deliverance. Hallelujah. Psalm 91, verse 10. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Now, who's this belong to? This belong to us? Does this belong to the new covenant believer? It absolutely does. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. It belongs to whoever will make the Lord their refuge. That's what the Psalm 91 says earlier in the chapter. Verse 11, why? For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Praise God. Daniel said it this way in Daniel 6:22. He said, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths so that they've not hurt me when he was thrown into the lion's den. The angel came along and just put his hand over those lion's mouths. Hallelujah. Amen. In Acts chapter 12, Peter is put in prison by Herod. Verse 5 says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer. Everybody say constant prayer. Constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. So Peter is there in the prison. He's been arrested by Herod. And Herod's going, now Peter also knows this. He knows that just before that, just recently, Herod has arrested James and has put him to death. So Peter realizes he's probably awaiting the same fate. So I think it's miraculous to realize back in verse, let's go back to verse 6 for a second, Kim, that Peter is sleeping. Well, you think you'd be able to sleep knowing that Herod's going to bring you out and probably give you the same fate that he gave James, execute you with a sword? But Peter's able to sleep. Praise God. Why? Because he knows where he's going. Because he knows his life belongs to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Because Jesus said, don't fear those who can kill the body. But after that, they have nothing more that they can do. Amen. So Peter was able to sleep. So now back to 7. Now behold, while Peter's sleeping, he's bound with two chains between two soldiers. I mean, there's a soldier on one side of him, soldier on the other. I mean, Herod's making sure this guy's not getting away because he'd already done that before. He'd already escaped prison supernaturally before in Acts chapter 5. Yeah. Amen. All right. So the angel stands by him, verse 7. An angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side. Didn't give him a gentle tune like your phone does. It's like the angel comes in and whap. Peter's like, ah, ow, get up. Amen. It wasn't gentle. Amen. So the angel comes and he strikes Peter on the side and raises him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. So first of all, let's note this. We're going to read the rest of this story. But let's note this. Prayer is essential in bringing angelic assistance on the scene. Amen. Prayer is essential in bringing angelic assistance on the scene. So Peter, the Bible says that when he was arrested, constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Amen. Daniel was praying in the Old Testament, and an angel came to bring Daniel revelation. And remember, the angel said, I've come. Why? Because of your words. I've come for your words. I've come because of your words. Because of the words that Daniel was praying. Yes. So angelic assistance is released on our behalf through prayer. Amen. Amen. Remember, also Cornelius was praying. In Acts chapter 10, the Bible says that Cornelius was, again, he was one who feared God, and he prayed to God always and gave alms to the people, and he was praying when the angel showed up. Amen. Kenneth Hagin, in this account that he shared that I read to you earlier about when the angel showed up, what was he doing? He was praying. Amen. He said, we were in a prayer meeting. I was praying. Amen. So prayer is essential. That doesn't mean you have to be praying to have an angel help at that moment. But prayer releases angelic assistance on your behalf. Amen. Amen? All right. So the angel came and broke him out of prison. Verse 8, the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. So he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. He just thought, oh, this is a cool vision. I'm still shut up in prison, but I'm seeing a vision that I'm free. When they were past the first and second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. So this is the first account in history of an automatic gate. Since then, department stores have employed this technique, all right, to enter their facilities, right? It opened to them of its own accord, and they went out. This is what angels can do. I said, this is what angels can do. Hallelujah. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Curtis, if you'd start our music there, we'll wrap this up. A couple of more points here real quickly. God will send his angels to deliver those for whom we intercede. Amen. Amen. Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, and we could look at countless examples of angels bringing divine protection, and we may look more at that next week, but I just wanted to point that one out. But in, and bring it down just a little bit if you would. In Genesis 18, we find that Abraham is interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember that? He's praying. The two angels and the Lord himself come down and visit Abraham and tell him, hey, there's been an outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah. We're going to go and we're going to examine it. And so Abraham, the angels going down to Sodom, and Abraham, the Bible says, stands before the Lord in intercession. And you know, the Lord has made it clear that Sodom and Gomorrah is destined for destruction. And Abraham said, what if there's 50 righteous in the city? Will you destroy the city for the sake of 50? The Lord said, if I find 50, I'll not destroy it. And Abraham works him all the way down to 10. And so finally, after that, he thinks, okay, I've got it covered. I know there's Lot. I know there's his wife. I know there's his daughters. I know there's his son. I know we got 10. We're covered. And so he stopped asking. And so then he, you know, the angel's going down to Sodom. And, you know, they find Lot there. And I'm going to skip forward to verse 15 in Genesis 19, 15. It says, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of this city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. And so God sent his angels to deliver Lot. Now, Lot was considered a righteous man. The Bible says he was a righteous man, but he was also a righteous man that had made some bad decisions. He made the bad decision when he and Abraham, a few years earlier, had decided to part ways because the land couldn't support their flocks. And Abraham said, you know, if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Doesn't matter to me. I'm going to let you choose. So Lot said, well, it's a little bit barren around here. Sure looks good down there. And even though he knew the reputation of Sodom and Gomorrah, he thought, well, it's better for the flocks there. It's well watered, you know, and so I'm going to go down there. I'm going to go down to the plain where Sodom and Gomorrah is. And so he ended up staying there. The Bible says he was tormented, his righteous soul was tormented by the evil there, but he stayed there. So the point is this: God will deliver those for whom we intercede. Abraham stood in intercession for his nephew Lot. Hallelujah. And God will send his angels. He will send his angels to deliver those for whom we intercede, because he sent those angels down to Sodom. And they were there not just to execute judgment. That was part of what they were sent to do. But number one, they had to get Lot and his family out. They said, Lot was delaying. He said, well, yeah, we got to get a few more things we want to pack up first before we go. And then finally they said that they took their hand. The angel said, no, come on, you got to go now. And in another verse in that account, it said the angel said, hurry and go there, because we can do nothing until you're at a place of safety. Amen. We've got a job to do to execute judgment, but our number one job is to take care of you. Why? Because somebody's been interceding for you.
Amen. Yes.
You may have family members, loved ones that are maybe not living for God the way they should. Praise God, you can intercede for them, and the angels of God will intervene.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. In verse 29 of Genesis 19, it says, and it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham. What do you remember about Abraham? He remembered Abraham's intercession. He remembered Abraham's prayer. God remembered Abraham and delivered Lot. Hallelujah. And sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. Praise God. Amen. So continue to stand in faith. Continue to pray for your loved ones. God will send his angels, if necessary, and deliver them. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And then we know that angels, we won't talk about this today, but angels bring divine provision. Angels are agents of divine judgment. And then finally this, one last verse I want to share with you. Angels do, as the song that we started out with, O come, angel band, come and around me stand. O bear me away on your snowy wings to my immortal home. Hallelujah. The angels carry us to heaven and escort us to heaven when we leave this earth. Did you know that? You know, I've heard people talk about loved ones that saw angels before they passed. They would communicate to their loved ones about seeing these glowing magnificent beings there with them. Those angels were there to escort them into heaven. We know that that happens. Luke 16, verse 22. So it was Jesus is telling this account. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, or a.k.a. paradise in that time. That was before Jesus had come, before redemption, and before that folks go directly to heaven now. That was heaven at that time. But when that beggar died, he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And I thought about this. Why do they do that? Well, again, you have angels assigned to you. You have angels assigned to assist you, to minister for you, and to care for you. And they're not going to stop until you are safely in heaven. Amen. Only then is their assignment finished. Amen. Think about that. When we're escorted safely to heaven, then they can say, okay, mission accomplished. But not until then. They are constantly at watch. They are constantly available. Now, again, through our faith, now we don't pray to angels, right? We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, but through our faith and through our prayers and through the exercise of our spiritual authority, through speaking the Word of God, the Bible says in Psalm 103 that the angels hearken to the calling aloud of the Word, to the voice of the Word. So when we speak God's Word, when we declare God's Word over our lives and over our situations, the angels hear that and they're sent on assignment to do what's necessary to guide us, to bring provision, to bring protection, to bring deliverance. Amen. Amen. They do not stop assisting us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you today. We praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you for your angels that you've sent to care for us, to care for your people. We praise you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. They're sent to care for the heirs of salvation. So now that we're in your kingdom, we can expect that angelic assistance, that guidance, that comfort, that strength, that protection, that deliverance. Lord, our faith is strengthened today, knowing that whether we see them or not, they're there working on our behalf. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You care for us so much. Yes. Hallelujah, that you sent your angels. We praise you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Now, while we're in an attitude of prayer, with heads bowed, with eyes closed, please, for just another moment, I want to ask if there's anybody here you'd say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to receive Him as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, I want to pray for you this morning. Would you raise your hand? Pastor, pray for me. I've never made Jesus Lord of my life. I've never invited Him into my heart to be my Lord and my Savior. Anyone here in the auditorium here at City on a Hill today, you'd say, yeah, that's me. Pray for me. By raising your hand, you'd say that. Yes, that's me. Pray for me. If you're joining us on YouTube, maybe you need to pray that prayer. Maybe you've never received Jesus. I want to lead you in a prayer where you receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And I'd like for everybody in the auditorium, if you would, join me in this prayer. You won't mind praying it again in affirmation of your faith. So just put your hand over your heart, if you would, here in the auditorium. You that are joining us on YouTube, if you've never made Jesus your Lord, all of us need a Savior. We've all sinned, the Bible says. We've all come short of the glory of God, and we all need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Through Jesus, you come to the Father. Through Jesus, you were saved. Through Jesus, you are made right with God. And you can do that right now. You can receive Him right now. So just pray this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that He was raised from the dead. And only He can give me eternal life. Lord Jesus, I call upon You. I believe on You. And I confess You as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for coming into my heart and being my Lord. And thank you for your angels that you have sent forth to care for me. From this day until I go to be with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now,